Well, a few weeks ago in our morning service, we learned that it is God's will for every Christian to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. His purpose in saving us is that we might become like Christ. And last week we learned that if we will conform to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we will become like Jesus Christ, then it's going to require change on our part. All of us recognize, if we're honest this morning, that we fall short of the glory of God, and we have great need to grow and to become like Christ. And so we learned last week that we must reckon ourselves indeed dead unto sin and alive unto Jesus Christ. And this morning we want to learn that this work of sanctification or renewal is a work that God intends for every Christian to experience. God intends for us from the moment of salvation to be changed from the inside out and to become more and more like His Son. We call it sanctification. We call it becoming like Christ. You can call it Christian maturity. And may I say that when it comes to this matter of sanctification, we are not the solution. We are not the answer. You see, the Christian life is first and foremost about a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is first and foremost about God. And in this day when so much humanistic reasoning is abounding and when so many people are focusing on self and self-help, we must recognize that God is the reason we are here today and that God is the one who will bring us into the image of His Son. Man only functions well when he is in good fellowship with his Creator. And the primary purpose in our being here today is not to get to know one another better, although that's a blessing. It's not to get to know ourselves better, but the primary reason we are here today is to get to know God better. And as we get to know God, He begins to change us and work on us day by day by day. I heard about a lady who said recently, "I finally got a hold of my inner self, and she's just as confused as I am." And so getting a hold of your inner self isn't the key to life. And getting to know friends isn't the key to life. But coming into fellowship with our Creator is the key to life. The Apostle Paul stated it this way in Acts 17:28. He said, "For in Him we live and move and have our being." Paul said, "In Christ we live, and in Christ we move. And in Christ, we have our being." He said, "My whole life is in Christ." As the singer sang a moment ago, "I want to know Christ." And friend, if we'll get this relationship right, you're going to find that all of these start to work out. And while man is constantly working at this plane, God is saying, "Let's work on this one for a while." And so today we want to speak about the way to renewal. And the way to renewal does not begin first with the husband to the wife, or the parent to the child, or the friend to the friend. But the way to renewal and the way to inner sanctification begins by having right fellowship with God. And so this morning I would draw your attention to these matters of renewal and to this matter of sanctification. And let's begin in Philippians chapter 2, where we see the desire for renewal. The desire for renewal. Last week we learned that all of us have a sinful nature and that we must reckon ourselves dead unto sin and alive unto Christ. And so it is not with me naturally to have a desire for renewal or a desire for sanctification. So where does this desire come from? Notice, if you would, what it says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. He says in the latter portion of verse 12, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." That does not mean that you do works to get saved or to become a Christian. You don't have to give or go to church or do certain things to get saved. But when Paul says, "Work out your own salvation," he is literally saying that we are to allow God's work within us to come forth in everyday life. And in verse 13, he says, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Now, God places within each of His children a desire to know Him. God works in us both to will and to do His good pleasure. In other words, if I have a will to know Him, If I have a desire to know Him, it is because of God working in me. It is God that places that desire in me. My flesh doesn't desire God, but God has created a desire within me to know Him and to will to know Him. And so we see, first of all, that He creates a will to know Him. I'm glad today that He has created every man and woman in this room with a will or with a desire to know Him. And we must remember that sanctification is the work of God from the inside out. Sanctification and renewal begin with God, and then they continue as we yield to God. So Paul says in verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and then to do of His good pleasure." Now, my friend, God will give us that will initially, yet we must follow that will with desire. We must be yielded to His will. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3 says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." How many of you realize that when you were saved, God drew you unto Himself? God called you, and God gave you a desire for Him. God allowed you to follow the leading of His Holy Spirit. Paul said in Romans 7:18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." Paul said, in my flesh, I don't want to perform that which is good. Now, it says there's something in me that wants to do good, but I can't do it in my flesh. That will is the will of God. It's the desire from God. But it is only as we yield to God that we can do the performing of His will in our life. Paul said, I have a will to do right, but I struggle with knowing how to do right. And so we see that it is God that gives us the will, but it is also God that will lead us in the way of sanctification. There is a French proverb that states, a good meal ought to begin with hunger. A good meal ought to begin with hunger. And the premise is that it's hard to enjoy a meal when you are not yet hungry. How many of you have ever sat down and had a glass of milk and 10 or 12 Oreo cookies right before a roast beef dinner? The roast doesn't taste quite the same, does it? But boy, when you've worked all day and you skip lunch and you come home and you smell that roast, it's almost like you're going to the table in a trance, you know? You're ready to eat. Why? Because you're hungry for it. Because there's a desire for it. And if we will approach the Word of God, and if we will approach God Himself with a hunger to be satisfied, we will be satisfied every time. Effective worship begins with a hunger for God. And God says, I'm the one who gave you that desire in the first place. I'm the one who gave you the desire to know me in the first place. Truly, salvation is a gift from God, and even the desire for salvation is a gift from God, and the desire to know God in a greater way is a gift from Him. For it is God that worketh in you, both to will, or to give you that will, and then to do the working of His will in your life. Our flesh does not will to know God. Our flesh does not want to put away sin. Our flesh wants to carry sin. But God says, I've given you a will. I've given you a desire to know me and to be conformed to my image. And so we see that God gives the will. But notice, secondly, He leads us to know Him. He leads us to know Him. Now, not only does God initially give us this will, but Philippians 2:13 says that God will do of His good pleasure. So He gives us the desire, and then He will do His will through our lives. If we have a will to follow Him, which is from Him, the desire, then He will lead us in the way that we should go. Now, friend, it comes back to Galatians 5:16, the old nature and the new nature. The new nature, that will from God, the Holy Spirit of God, says this is the way to go. The question is, am I going to follow the Holy Spirit? Am I going to follow that God-given desire to get to the house of God, to open the Word of God, to witness to a friend who needs the Savior? Will I follow God? God's giving you that nudging. God's giving you that will. But we must yield to His Holy Spirit. Now, Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, in fact, let's turn there in our Bibles this morning. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 teaches us how to follow God's promptings and how to follow God's will for our lives. Romans 8, 14 says it this way. Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. Let's say that together, shall we? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, it is God who both wills, and then it is God who does His good pleasure. How does God give us that will to do what is right? He does that by the leadership of His Spirit. God's Holy Spirit puts a will within the Christian to become like Christ, to bring us to the image of Christ, to bring us to maturity. Now, the flesh wants to pull you back to the honky-tonk and the old music and the old friends and the old habits. But God says, I have a will for your life, and it is my will that you would become like Christ. It is my purpose, Romans 8, 29, that you would conform to His image. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know, you can tell a Christian many times by his life. You can tell that he's following the leadership of the Lord. Romans 8, 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. For the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. God did not save you, my friend, so that you could go back to the old ways and the old habits. God saved you so that you would follow His Spirit, who's trying to give you a new will and the ability to perform that will in your everyday life. And so the way to renewal in this Christian life, for those who are saved this morning and who are away from God and who haven't been desiring the things of God, the way to renewal is to yield yourself to that will that is placed within you by the Holy Spirit of God. Because when there's a desire in you to read the Bible, that doesn't come from your flesh. And when there's a desire in you to witness, that's not from the flesh. And when there's a desire in you to forgive someone, that's not from the flesh. That's of the Holy Spirit of God. It is God who both wills in you and then gives you the ability to perform the work of God. Now, may I say to you this morning that if you never have a desire for God, if you never have a desire to know more about Him, and if you never seem to have a desire to grow in godliness, I would encourage you to examine today whether or not you are even a child of God. If there's never a desire for God, if there's never a desire in someone's life to learn about Him and to be with His people and to grow more like Him, then the question must be asked, are you truly born again of that Spirit? Do you really have that Spirit in you? Because if you have God's Spirit in you, He wills in you to know God. He puts a desire in you to know God. And Romans 8, 14 is very clear. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. My friend, if someone has no desire for spiritual things, it is a dangerous indication in their life of their spiritual condition. Because the Holy Spirit in you will lead you to know God. Those who are truly the children of God will hunger to know Him more and will want to know Him more. Now, they grow at different paces and at different levels in their life, but there will be a desire. There will be a will to know Him each and every day. And thank God for those who are here this morning in this building right now and who really want to know Him. And you say, I understand this is a tremendous opportunity to know God, and that is why I'm here. The Bible says in Matthew 5 and verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. God says, if you really want to know Me, and if you really want to know about righteousness for your family, for your life, for your everyday living, if you're hungry for that, you'll be filled. If you're hungering to know me, I will fill you. You see, God not only creates the hunger, He intends to satisfy the hunger. He not only creates the desire, but He says, I'm going to perform the doing of it. I'm going to fulfill that desire. Now, may I say to you this morning that any attempt to solve this God-given desire in another way is going to fail. God places a desire in your heart. One preacher said it this way: God puts a hole in the heart of every man that only Jesus can fill. I like that. God places that desire in your heart. And if you try to fill that hole with anything else, you are doomed to failure. I think of John chapter 4, the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. And she had been with several husbands, and the man that she was with currently was not her husband. And Jesus Christ approached her, and He began to speak to her about a water that would fill her life and from which she would never thirst again. And he said to her, in essence, you've been trying to be satisfied in other ways. And she tried that religious argument. She said, well, our fathers worship in this mountain, and your fathers worship in that mountain. And she tried to argue religion, but finally Jesus Christ kept bringing the point home that she had never truly known God and had never known the way of salvation. And there came a time in her life then when she believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and that hole was filled by Jesus. And what I'm saying this morning, that hunger for God cannot be filled with alcohol. It cannot be filled with lust. It cannot be filled with wrong relationships. It cannot be filled with the fun of this world. There is a place in your heart that apart from Jesus Christ will never, ever be satisfied. And the desire for renewal comes from God Himself. He says, I'm going to place within your heart a desire for me. Whether you receive me in the first place is up to you. I'm going to place within the desire of a Christian, or the heart of a Christian, a desire for me. Now, whether you are led of my Spirit, whether you will follow my Spirit, is going to be up to you. You have to make that choice. But the desire to begin with comes from God. And I thank God that He's placed that desire in your heart this morning. Notice not only the desire for renewal, but secondly, the seeking for renewal. If someone truly desires renewal, they are going to seek for that renewal. They are going to look to be renewed in their God. Psalm 105 and verse 4 says it this way: Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Deuteronomy 4:29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him, if thou seek Him with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Now this morning, someone who has that God-given desire and who is following the Holy Spirit in the matter of inner sanctification, they are going to seek for renewal from God. And I believe there are a few ways that we must seek for this today. First of all, we must seek with determination. We must seek the Lord with determination. Sometimes we need to recognize that these churches and Christians who act as though the Christian life is just a party and church is just a thing we do, we need to recognize that many times God says if we're going to grow, it's going to require study. It's going to require diligence. It's going to require determination. And oftentimes we are apathetic about seeking the Lord because we are passionate about other things. Oftentimes we are apathetic about seeking the Lord because we are passionate about other things. I remember years ago a man that I believe was saved, and he was coming to church and beginning to grow, and he seemed somewhat passionate about God's things, but after a while he became very apathetic about God's things. And his Bible reading, by his own testimony, went by the wayside. And instead of being very faithful in church attendance, he became very intermittent in his church attendance. And as time began to go by, it was hard to even talk to him as a brother in Christ. And as time continued along, it became obvious that something was wrong. And finally, he came to his Sunday school teacher and he said, look, he said, I've got a friend that I used to work with years ago, and we used to ride motorcycles together, and he's been asking me to ride with him on Sundays. And as the story unfolded, he had been spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars on his motorcycles and getting involved in races and so forth. And the reason he was apathetic about the things of God was because he was passionate about something else. My friend, the question this morning is this: are you passionate for your God? Are you seeking to know God? Is it something that you have a passion for? And if you do not have a passion to know God, what is it that you do have a passion for? Because every man and woman in this room this morning is created as a passionate being. And God wants us to seek Him and to know Him. And He clearly states in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's why we see in Paul's life such a great example for all of us, because the Apostle Paul had one overwhelming desire through the trials, through the good times, through imprisonment, through church planting, through difficulty. Paul the Apostle had one desire, and that one desire was to know God. And he says in Philippians 3 and verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. My friend, if you have a desire for God, then I challenge you to seek Him passionately and with determination to say, I want to know Him. And Lord, through the trial I'm experiencing, I want to get to know You better, not only with determination, but I say secondly, with devotion. With devotion. Many times the reason that we do not have discipline in our Christian life is because we do not have devotion in our Christian life. Many times it is not a matter of being more disciplined. It is a matter of being more devotional towards our Lord and having more love in our hearts for the Lord. Now, the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. You see, the reason we do not read the Word of God is not because we're so busy. The reason we do not read the Word of God is not because we're just disorganized. Many times the reason we do not read the Word of God is because we do not love the God of the Word. The Bible says we're to love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. How many of you men love your wives? You better get those hands up. And I think back to some of the notes that my wife's written me before and after marriage. And you know, because I love her and because she loves me, when she writes me a note and I see maybe on the counter there in the bathroom some morning, she'll have a little note and she'll have toothpaste on my toothbrush. And I think to myself, this is going to be a good day. You ever have those days when you get up, fellas, those of you that wear a tie, and it takes 17 times to get it tied right, and you stub your toe trying to get your shoes on, and you just have one of those last days. But now, at my house, when I get up and there's toothpaste on the toothbrush and a little note that has my name and a heart next to it, I just know it's going to be a good day. And when I see that little note like that, I don't look at it and say, that looks interesting. I'm going to be sure to read that when I get home tonight. Oh, no, I want to know what it has to say. Boy, I open that note up, and sometimes it'll say something like, you big hunk of a man, you. And you're the most wonderful husband, or whatever it says, you know. Man, it's a blessing. I like to read those notes. You know why I like to read those notes? Because I love my wife and she loves me. Now, wait a minute. God loves you. And God has something to say to you. And it's not a lack of discipline why we don't come to Bible study on Wednesday night. It's not that we're so busy. Sometimes it's that we don't love Jesus the way we did back when we used to. What I'm saying this morning is that in this busy, busy day, sometimes God gets crowded out. And we need to say, God, give me that desire to seek You with determination and with devotion. Psalm 34:10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want anything. God says, I'm still here. If you'll seek after Me, I'll give you what you need. And the emphasis here this morning, please understand this, is not about seeking more principles, for most of us know more principles than we are already applying. What we're talking about is seeking a person today. We're not talking about seeking more principles. We're talking about seeking a person, and His name is Jesus. And this entire series, Becoming Like Christ, is about getting to know Him more intimately. A songwriter years ago wrote this song, Take Time to Be Holy. I mean, we don't hear many praise bands singing that song these days. Take time to be holy. I mean, first of all, our answer to that is, who has the time? And secondly, who wants to be holy? But that's what this series is about. Sanctification is about becoming like Christ. And guess what? He is holy. And the songwriter said, take time to be holy. And this is what the words to the first verse say. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like Him thou shalt be. Thy friends and thy conduct, His likeness shall see. Friend, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if every one of us would take time to be holy tomorrow morning? We would take time in His Word. God, we would say, God, I do have that desire. I admit that. I want You. I desire. I feel that. I want to know You. And because I feel that desire, God, I'm seeking You now this morning. And I want to get to know You. And I want to take time to be holy. And wouldn't it be something else if then Monday at work, because you took time to be holy, that someone would say, man, there's something different about that guy. There's something going on in his life that I want. Like the disciples at Emmaus, as they walked along with Jesus Christ in Luke 24:32 on the Emmaus Road, and as Jesus began to talk, they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened with us the Scriptures? Did not our hearts burn within us? And I believe that God wants to burn our hearts, if you will, or warm our hearts each and every day like that. He wants to give us something that we can take with us for the rest of the day. And so if we will be renewed as Christians, if we will be renewed from the inside out and sanctified to become more like Christ, then we must follow that God-given desire. And we must seek the Lord. And then thirdly, we must abide in that place of renewal, the abiding in renewal. The abiding in renewal. Now follow me this morning. First, God gives that desire, that will. God puts a will within us to know Him and to be led of His Spirit. Now God's given me a desire or a will to be led of His Spirit, and that desire causes me to seek the Lord. And He says, if you seek Me, you will find Me. Now I've found Him. Now I'm back to where I once was. Now my heart's warm within me. Now I can say, praise God, I am His and He is mine. Hey, why don't I suggest to you this morning that when you find that place tomorrow morning, you go ahead and stay there all day long. We call it abiding with Christ. I mean, who says you have to spend 10 minutes with the Lord on a Monday morning or 1 hour with God on a Sunday, and then you go back to your MTV world Monday through Friday? Who says it has to be that way? Who says you have to come and get a little dose of God and then live like the rest of the reprobates the rest of the week? I propose to you that God wants us to become more like His Son each and every day of our lives. His gift to you is not merely the gift of a Sunday morning, but it's an entire lifelong. He says, if you desire Me, then seek Me. If you seek Me, you'll find Me. And when you find Me, why don't you just hang around with Me for a while? Why don't you abide with Me for a while? I believe God wants us, first of all, to abide in fellowship with Him. To abide in fellowship with Him. John 15 and verse 4, abide in Me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in Me. God says, I want you to abide with Me. I want you to walk with Me. I want you to talk with Me. I want you to meditate on these principles and on the truths of the Word of God. Now, many of you know this to be true. A married couple may live in the same house. A married couple may have common goals and mutual interests and still not experience the oneness that God wants them to experience. God says that a man and a woman are to become one flesh. They are to enjoy spiritual intimacy one with another. And God says it's not enough that you go to church. It's not enough that you have some beliefs from My Bible. God says, I want to enjoy intimacy with you. God says, I want you to acknowledge Me throughout the day. I want you to think of Me throughout the day. I want you to pray with without ceasing. I want you to memorize My Word. God says, I want to abide with you. I'm going to be your good friend all the time, not just Sunday mornings. Abide with Me, He says, and I in you. God wants our fellowship with Him to be open and clear. Listen, who do we think we're kidding when we have a wrong thought? Do we think God doesn't see that thought? Who do we think we're kidding when we have anger with someone? But you know, God's there to help us deal with those issues and to ask forgiveness for those sins. And God says, since I know it all anyways, why don't you just acknowledge the fact that I'm there and let's walk through this life together and let me help you become more like Christ. I want you to turn to a verse that just, man, did it help me in the last few weeks. I want you to turn to Acts 24:16. What a great verse this is. This is a verse that helps us to recognize the kind of life that a devoted Christian lives. A verse that deals with abiding in fellowship with God. Acts 24 and verse 16. Paul in this verse is basically giving his testimony, and he says here, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." Talk about a life's verse. "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience that is void of offense toward God and toward men." Now that you've found it, let's say that one together. Ready, begin. "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." How many of you would say, man, if I could live that verse right there, I'd be on the way to a life becoming more like Christ. Paul said, I just exercise my life to this goal. I want to have a conscience that's void of offense toward God. Now, that's what it means to abide with Jesus. It means to live throughout each and every day with this heart and desire that says, I don't want to do anything that would offend my God today. And furthermore, I don't want to do anything that is wrong towards my fellow man today, because I have a desire to know God, and I have been seeking God, and I have found God, and therefore I want to continue abiding with God. And what a great verse this is, that we would live our lives in that way. Like Abraham, who is called the friend of God. Like Enoch, who walked with God and was no more. And one of the great tragedies in Christianity in America today is that we do a little time with God here and a little time with God there, and then we many times turn Him off the rest of the time. But God says, I want you to abide with me. Not only does He want us to abide with Him in fellowship, but He wants us to abide with Him, secondly, in joy. In joy. God wants us to have joy as we abide with Him. You know, a lot of times, fellas that aren't saved, they'll think, man, being a Christian, you can't have any fun. You know, you can't get drunk, you can't cheat on your wife, you can't listen to dirty jokes, you just can't have any fun. Well, fellas, that's not fun. Let me tell you what fun is: living for Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you," listen to this, "that your joy may be full." John says, I'm challenging you to have fellowship with Jesus, because when you walk with Jesus, listen, fellas, and when your conscience is right towards Jesus, and when your conscience is right towards your fellow man, that's what joy is all about. Show me the guy who's been living for the devil, that's the guy who has no joy. He's got to have another drink just to soothe his conscience. Abide in joy. You see, God wants you to know Him and to walk with Him and to have intimacy with Him. God desires not only to save us from eternal hell, but also to transform our lives and to renew our lives here on this earth. And perhaps you are here this morning needing renewal from God. I want to say this morning that God can renew the person who is without Jesus Christ by simply introducing you to His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you have never been born again the Bible way, and if you do not know Christ as your Savior, then if you would accept Jesus Christ today as your personal Savior, renewal will begin with Jesus, and Jesus will begin to renew your life. And if you already have Jesus Christ as your Savior, and there has been a time when you did ask Him to come into your life, but through this hot summer and through vacations and through trials and difficulties, you have found yourself slipping back and away from God, I want to challenge you with this fact this morning. God has put a desire in you to seek Him, and if you'll seek Him, you'll find Him. And if you can find Him, then you can abide with Him, and you can get back on track in this matter of living for Christ and becoming more like Jesus Christ. After all, it was Isaiah many hundreds of years ago who said it this way concerning renewal. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And to the Christian today who seeks the Lord, and to the Christian today who will abide with the Lord, He promises you renewal. He promises you encouragement. He promises that you will become more like the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son.